service desk,
where we help users help themselves.
How are you tonight, Andrew?
Well, I'm doing all right. Had to deal with some technical issues trying to get my computer started, but you know, just because we work in IT doesn't mean that we don't have to deal with it at home.
So true. So how was work this week?
Work was pretty good. We're still doing our big Windows 10 transition, so going through a lot of that. And one of my coworkers is in New Zealand right now.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, so fun for him, but...
Little short staff.
Yeah, it's a little short staff, but I'm going to pay him back because I just found out I'm going to be going to Japan in October.
Wow, that'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that. There'll be a lot of good times, and it's kind of a geeky slash foodie slash nature mecca. So I'm excited.
It's like all of your things.
Right. Have you done any big travels recently? Or?
Oh, heavens, no. I have a family. That doesn't happen for us.
Oh, why are you crying while laughing at the same time?
I'm not crying.
Sorry, I just must have been personifying my own self onto you there. No. But why don't we get on with this? I have something kind of exciting in tech news today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, it's actually kind of something really sad. But the kind of first death when it comes to self-driving cars has happened.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's something that I think we're going to definitely see in history books, especially with, you know, how prevalent these are going to be. But just the other day, a gal... unfortunately got hit and died from a Uber self-driving car test.
Wow. Sadness.
Right? And, you know, it's one of those situations where it's really sad that it happened, but I suppose, in my opinion, it's really impressive that it's gone this long with all these different companies, you know, like Uber, Lyft, Waymo, Chrysler, Ford. I mean, all these people are running countless hours in all these cities.
Right.
And... this is the first death, whereas people driving cars, it's scary how fatal it is.
Yes. Killed like every, I don't know, 30 seconds or something. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but no. So, I mean, that's something that I think we're going to see definitely once it comes down to just down the road, you know, in history books. And it's unfortunately something that was going to happen, and it happened today.
Well, thanks for depressing us, Andrew.
Well, it's kind of depressing.
But I don't have anything good to follow that up with.
You know, I aim to please. Or displease, I suppose. But yes. That's about all I saw. Really kind of that was really hard hitting is first big thing in the history, I suppose. So, but it was going to happen, and it's sad that it did have to, but hopefully they'll learn a lot from it, and hopefully, you know, legislators won't overreach and decide it's too dangerous.
We'll stay out of politics here, because I have words.
Exactly, so. But, so what's our topic for today, Kim?
Well, there's these lovely infections called malware. I'm sure you're intimately familiar.
I know them well.
So... when people talk about malware, a lot of times they use all the words kind of interchangeably, and they'll call it all a virus, or mostly it's just a virus is what I hear. How about you?
Yeah, usually I hear two from people. I hear virus and I hear malware, but yes, it's pretty much the two same.
But there's a whole lot of kinds of infections you can get. And we're going to tell you all about them. So I guess this is a really depressing podcast tonight.
Death and infection. So it's like we're talking in the 1800s.
We just need a couple more horsemen of the apocalypse here.
Let's not get into like petulance, and we'll save that for another podcast.
Sounds good. Don't want to hit them all at once. The first kind of level is what they call grayware, or potentially unwanted programs.
Pups.
pups. It sounds so cute.
And, you know, they oftentimes do look cute because they're, in my opinion, kind of geared towards catching people that really don't know a lot about IT.
Yes. And a lot of times they're designed to look like they're helping. So you'll get something that says, like, click here to scan your system. And then it'll download something that kind of looks helpful, but it's not. They're taking information, usually.
Yes, exactly. You get those, or the two other big ones I see are the driver updater or optimizers.
Ugh.
Which is just, you never need a driver updater or optimizer. And then the coupon clipper, or the coupon applications. I see lots of those.
Oh my gosh. Don't download a coupon clipper ever.
Exactly.
It will kill your browser, and then it'll install some kind of safe search. Yep. Or encrypted search.
And all it's doing is watching where you're going.
100%.
Just go to sites like, I don't know, what are the big Ebates and like RetailMeNot. Yeah, things that don't need you to download things.
Yes. Usually there's a code or something that you can just, you know, write down on a sticky note. Write those down on sticky notes, not your passwords.
But yes, so those are definitely grayware, and those are probably the ones that you'll see most often when it comes out there with, like, personal computers. Mm-hmm. You see them on work computers a lot, but for the most part, when I help out people on their personal computers, pretty much everybody has one of those that I see.
Yes, and toolbars. Mm-hmm. You don't need toolbars.
And they're not necessarily always, they're not the worst things. A lot of them will just kind of, their goal is to give you ads. So they see where you're going, what websites you're accessing, and then they'll try and, you know, inject ads that you would normally wouldn't see. Either that, or they may be trying to sell the information of where you go to other people. So it's not the most malicious of viruses or malware, but it is definitely unwanted.
Yes. And then they will sometimes have adware along with that, where, like, you'll go visit a site and then you'll have some pop-in from the side of someone saying, click here if you need assistance. Or they'll have more ads than you're used to seeing. That's some kind of adware.
Yep.
No fun.
Nope.
But usually not going to kill your system.
Exactly. And kind of along the same lines as of things that are not going to kill your system or be obviously a virus or, you know, something that's a malware, would definitely be something along the lines of our next topic, which is keyloggers.
Yeah. It's kind of a fun name.
Yeah.
Keylogger. Go ahead.
I'm curious where this is going to go. Keep going.
I could make up a whole song, I guess. Keyloggers, ransomware.
Keyloggers are kind of what they sound like, you know? They keep track and they log what keys and what you type in. These, I feel, are a little more malicious, or a lot more malicious, in the fact that if you go to your bank website, they know your passwords, your usernames, all of the information you're typing into your computer, you know, those secret love letters you write.
I've been found out. All of my love letters to David Tennant.
Oh, not Matt Smith?
No. Although, we were born like a week apart.
The more you know. So yes, keyloggers, they basically are that's in the simplest sense, is they keep track and they log what you're typing, and then they'll in some way get that information to someone you don't want to have it.
Yes, and they can be almost undetectable, so those are really frustrating to get rid of.
And the fun thing about these, if there's a fun side of them, is that there's actually a hardware component to this. Oftentimes, you can go out even online and buy something that you plug a keyboard into, and then you plug that into the computer. So a lot of public computers, like at libraries or in workplaces, you can get a kind of device which puts it in between, and unfortunately, then you get your information stolen that way. So it's always kind of a good idea if you're planning on typing anything sensitive. I like to check if I'm at like a library or something, but or just make a practice not to.
Okay. I was going to say, you're the one down on the floor, like looking at the back of the computer. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what else not?
Yeah. The next one's even worse. It's a thing called ransomware. And a few years back, there was a bad one that came out called CryptoLocker. It's no fun. They essentially take all of the files on your computer and either encrypt them with something that you can't unencrypt by yourself, or they lock them down some other way. And then they will pop up saying, "Your files have been encrypted. Please pay." And it's usually so much Bitcoin to some weird account in Russia. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they actually unencrypt, but most of the times not.
You're basically entering into a thieves contract where there's just no guarantee that it's up to them. The really good ones that have made a lot of money, though, unfortunately, or fortunately, I suppose, do honor, because they want to be known as someone that will unlock it. The big times, you'll hear them come out in the news a lot, when people like hospitals, in the past couple years, where medical record companies or records have just been locked away and encrypted. And I think a few times they've tried to pay.
And there's been legal companies and things that have done that to get their stuff back. And a lot of times those can spread through the network. So as an IT person, as soon as I see that actually happened at my last job, you immediately have to unplug them from the network. So it's much harder as a person who's attempting to help to get to you, because otherwise it can spread.
I had one of my last jobs as well, and it made it into one of the automatic backups that the person had, which backed up to one of those services online, so their backups were infected as well. We removed it, reinstalled their information, and it came back again.
Oh, I hurt just hearing that.
So that was sad. So that's why it's a good idea, if you have really important data, not only is it really good to have a automatic backup, but it's good to have kind of an offline, what we like to call cold storage, where you just have like your documents sitting on a flash drive somewhere that you don't have connected to a network or computer.
We'll have to do a whole episode on backups and how best to make sure you keep your stuff.
So the next one, do you want to take it? Trojan horse?
Dun, 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 dun. No.
This is my favorite sounding
one. Not that kind of horse.
Yeah.
So, a Trojan horse, if you don't know the myth, is based on a war in which Troy and Greece were fighting, supposedly over a woman, and the Trojans were losing, and they weren't able to get in, or, wait, was the Trojan? No. The Greece people were losing, and they were trying to get into Troy, so they built this big horse, and they were like, "Here, we're sorry, we're gonna go away now." And they put as many men as they could squeeze inside this giant horse. And then once the people of Troy rolled it into the city, and they were all like, this is a pretty nice monument, all the guys came out at night and killed all the Trojans. Fun stuff.
And that's really kind of what it does with the computer as well. So you think you're downloading, you think you're installing one thing, you think you're doing something that you want, and in the background, something's kind of slipping in the back and doing some malfeasance.
Exactly. So it looks like you're installing the thing, and you probably have, but along with it, like a little bit later, the Trojan side will kick in, and it will have some other activity.
Yep.
That varies depending on which kind.
And a lot of these that end up trying to install things on your computer, quite often they make your computer part of what's called a botnet, which is a group of computers all trying to do one thing. Oftentimes it's attacking other people. They may be trying to use your computer's resources to get money versus with Bitcoin mining, just tons of different resource or tons of different things that they can do with that if they control your computer.
Yep.
Our next one is kind of one of the old school ones. I don't really hear about them too often anymore, is worms. So kind of back, I think they were really popular, or they made the rounds in the 90s a lot, I think.
Mm-hmm. Windows 98 had a lot of them.
Yeah. And what they do is they're kind of just, a lot of them are just there to spread. So,
yes.
You know, a lot don't necessarily do bad things, but their main goal is to just try and spread through emails, networks, any way possible, CDs, flash drives.
They're self-replicating, so once it gets on your computer, it just goes from file to file to file to file. And depending on which kind of worm you had, it could disable you, but sometimes it was just annoying.
Yeah, some were made to try and start basically replacing files with themselves or deleting files, so you ended up with a computer that just didn't work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the more famous ones were created just because someone kind of wanted to have fun, and they wanted to see how far they could, you know, get a worm to spread across the internet. Kind of the old school hackers.
Oh, that was a movie, wasn't it?
Yes. Such a good movie.
Anyway, the thing that people call all of the malware viruses, they act kind of like a virus in a human in that they come in and they infect stuff, but
they don't require the user to be initiating any sort of interface between them or interaction.
Oh, so the viruses come in and they just kind of self-replicate. Whereas a worm needed another file to infect to make itself, the virus can just be itself. And they were deadly. Mm-hmm. I think most of them have been pretty well identified. And if you have a decent antivirus, most of them are identified quickly and shut down. But they can go through your files, so they might come in under, it looks like a .exe, an executable, but it's the virus, and then it all over, and they will shut down your system.
Yeah, they're definitely not one of the fun ones that are why not? It's really kind of interesting how, I don't know, maybe it's just because it's a term that most people know. How they've come to be the catch-all term, where malware is kind of a out there. You don't really know that term in other industries, so.
It's true. And things like spyware and keylogger, that's not things that you're going to hear on a regular basis.
Exactly.
The good news is that, Andrew said, worms are basically not a thing anymore. Viruses are all pretty well caught. It's things like Trojan horses, ransomware. There's always a new ransom something mm-hmm. coming up.
And the last one that I would kind of like to throw in there too is not really a virus even. Or it's not even really malware, but I think it deserves to be mentioned here.
Oh.
And it's zero-day exploits.
Oh.
So it's a application, your operating system. So Windows 7, Windows 10. Programs such as Java, Flash, Google Chrome, Internet Explorer, any of these could have their code written in such a way that someone could figure out a way to exploit and make ways into your computer without your knowledge, or make the code do stuff that you don't want it to do. And oftentimes your antiviruses will also catch those.
Mm-hmm.
But to avoid those is also why we always say that you should never not update your computer, really, because that's how you avoid those on top of your antivirus, is making sure you get plenty of backups. Yes. Or plenty of updates.
Yeah, a lot of times the updates will just be to cover some security hole that hopefully a white hat penetration tester has caught.
So on the news of avoiding stuff like this, what are some ways to avoid some of the things that we talked about before that? Like the malware, the worms, the viruses?
Well, when Uncle Bob sends you that email that says if you click here, you'll get $1 million, don't do it.
Or those sketchy sites, you know, that are, that has like 20 download buttons flashing at you.
I hate that.
Yes.
Basically, if it has more than one download button on a page and you don't know what you're doing, run away.
Yeah, I would even say, even if you know that there's a good download button somewhere on that site and you're not sure, just don't risk it. Maybe try and find another site that hosts that file that you need, or, you know, help someone or get someone to help you out.
Mm-hmm. And if you go somewhere like Bleeping Computer or something, which is a site we've mentioned before, go there. And if you can't figure it out, a lot of times they'll have like a walkthrough, like click this button and then they'll show you a picture of the page.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. People that have taken it among their own time to help you out.
And then Facebook is another thing. If you get weird messages from especially people you don't talk to very often, and they're trying to tell you to go do a thing, click on a link, download a file, don't do it. Contact the person outside of whatever Facebook or email or however they're contacting you, if you know them that way, and say, hey, so I got this thing. You might want to change your passwords.
That, and I've actually been getting, today I've gotten 3 text messages from just numbers with a link in it. And oftentimes these links that you see use a link shortening service, so they don't have the full address. You just see something that says like bit.ly- and a bunch of random stuff. Never click on those links if you don't know what they are. You always want to see the full link and not a really short, truncated version of it.
Mm-hmm. And if you do see the full link and it's going to, I don't know, compusa.ru or some strange extension, that's usually a red flag too. Mm-hmm. We've talked a lot about malware, but we're getting to our time limit. So next week, we'll talk about what to do, what kind of antivirus and other software you can use to either prevent or clean up after an attack.
These steps are just as important as knowing what that you're looking for. Everybody gets infected, and it's important to be able to know at least some basic troubleshooting on how to either protect yourself or clean up after the fact. But in the meantime, how can our listeners reach us?
Yeah, so if you've got some questions for us, especially about malware, you can reach us at Twitter. We're at...
Wait a sec. If they have a question about IT work, I need them to open up a ticket with the help desk, and then I'll go ahead and review...
And then we will address it based on the severity
and the timeliness of how it was placed. Sorry, I may have had some things at work trigger me, and I went off the rails there a little bit.
So please email servicedeskpodcast@gmail.com, and a ticket will be created in our system.
Exactly. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, all with the handle Service Desk Podcast, except with Twitter, it's Service Desk Pod.
Because apparently Twitter doesn't like all those letters in there. Whatever.
And very soon, you should be able to find it once we do on our social media. We should have a website being distributed as well.
And that, when it's live, will be servicedeskpodcast.com, which goes to kind of a starter site right now. Ugly as sin, but it's functional.
But in the meantime, follow us on any of the podcast apps that you are using to get us. And please, on all of those, try rate and review, especially the ones on iTunes. That's definitely how we get recommended to other people that might not know about us going into it.
And spread the love and knowledge. Hopefully you learned something.
Well, I'm Andrew.
I'm Kim.
And we're your techie friends.